Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 13th, 2014. On today's edition of Mark and Friends, we'll continue with part two of an hour-long taped conversation with Farzad. He was born in Iran, a Muslim, and he'd describe himself as a fanatical Muslim until the transformational work of the Lord Jesus Christ took over his life. I'm going to replay about 5 minutes of yesterday's broadcast to give you a little of the context to him coming to Christ as he was heading to destroy a Christian church. As he was sharing the story yesterday, I derailed him a little to talk about the difference of obeying and fearing Allah versus coming to terms with Almighty God as our Father. So I'll begin with Farzad telling some of his testimony and asking him about that encounter in the doorway of the church. You can find out more about this ministry by logging on to 222, that's the number 2, 222ministries.org, and learn of the unique work and outreach they're doing for Muslims. Here's Farzad.
And now this Christian, they call God a father. He made me so upset. He made me so angry. I threw the Bible on one side. I said, I never touched that book. I find the problem. I find the problem with the Christianity. This is it. I don't need to study anymore. They call a God a father. They call the Holy One, the Creator. They call him a father. That night I went back to the bed. I prayed to the Allah. I repented. I said, I never touched this. I went back to the bed. Around 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up again, pick up the Bible. I wanted to know how to worship him with the truth and the spirit. And I started reading a Bible. It was absolutely strange. It wasn't just then telling the people they can call a God a father. The way it was more crazy, it would tell them that you don't have to do anything. It was so simple. Just confess, repent, and believe. And is everything else is done for you? He paid it on that cross for you. Why they don't tell me to do something heavy? Why they don't this Christian they tell me to walk on my knee for 10 kilometers a day? That way I'll become saved. You know, that would make it much easier. I would become a Christian much more faster. But they're just saying, you know, trust him, surrender to him, and confess and repent. That's it. I was reading during those days. I had a few months battling my heart. I had the worst time in my life. I was crying. I was reading a Bible, throwing it away, couldn't pick it up again. I wasn't a good Muslim. I wasn't a Christian. I wanted to be a good Muslim. I prayed so many times and repented to Allah. These things start, this fire started in my heart. I wanted to know him more. But in the same time, it wasn't just me. The whole, my generation, it was in the questioning. For you, it might be difficult to understand, especially for the listener. As a Muslim, we are not just personally accountable. If I do something wrong, if I doubt Allah, doubt the Quran, or I do anything wrong, our teaching is in a 7 generation before us, they go to the hell. They're going to get punished. And that was scary. That was the heavy burden and heavy guilt on my back, you know. That's why I didn't want to give in. And one evening, I was with my friend in this shop. We were talking. I was training there. I was telling him about the Quran and the stories in the Quran. And this man came to the shop, and he had a cross on his chest. Then I said, well, this is the time. I started insulting this man after God. Later on, I find out he's a pastor of Assembly of God in Iran. I start insulting him and telling him everything, and I was waiting for his reaction. He turned back and smiled at me and said, you know, son, tomorrow we have a church meeting. Do you want to come? I said, yes, I'll come. And he just left. My friend looked at me and said, Father, you're going to the church tomorrow? I said, yes, I'm going to destroy that church. This is an Islamic country. I give blood for this Islam. We give so many martyrs for the Islam in this country. And now these people, they come and having a church in my town. These people, they come in and they're calling that God. We give blood to know him as a slave. Now they say they call him a father. That has to be a stop. But the reality was different, Mark. Reality was, I wanted to prove to my friend I'm a good Muslim. I wanted to prove to the Allah, I'm still a good Muslim. This book hasn't changed me. But most important thing for me was I wanted to prove I'm a good Muslim to myself and stop this fire in my heart. He told me 9 o'clock the meeting will start. I wake up very early morning. I told if I go when the people are in a meeting, they won't let me to destroy the church. I better go earlier when nobody's there. And in the morning I wake up, I put my army clothes on, I put my boots, young man with the beer, and I got ready, I went outside the church, I waited to smash this church up. And nobody could stop me, Mark, because as I said, you know, I was the son of the Ayatollah, I was well respected in the town, I was an army man, I was hero of the war, and nobody legally touched me. In fact, they might just give me a tap on the shoulder and say, bravo. I waited, and this lady cleaner went to the church. And when I say church, we don't have a church like in Europe. We have a small basement, somebody's basement. Nothing from outside, it could even look like a church. And inside, it was just a small cross, wooden cross on the door, on the wall. Hey, that was it. Nothing important about it. Anyway, when this lady cleaner went in, I waited, and a couple of minutes later, I went to smash this church up. I put 1 foot inside the church. And the Holy Spirit came down on me. I went on my knee, man. I went on my knee and I started crying. I started crying and I crying. For the first time, Mark, I realized I know the God as a Father. Hmm. I know the one, He loves me. It might sound so simple for some of you guys. You know, you grow up, believer or non-believer, you grow up with that knowing and knowledge God is your Father. But you take it sometime for credit. You just say, well, He is. Then you wake up for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, you're praying, or you're talking to this God as a Father. But for us, we always grow up to know He is a God. I know I'm a slave. He's a master. I'm nobody. I have no importance for Him. And He's waiting every second to just punish me. Every minute He's watching me to find a reason to punish me. You don't know how great was that minute. I know it. The God was there. The Father was there and was holding me tight, and He was kissing me all over. And I never had that experience.
And I've heard and learned Allah is to be feared, if you will, right?
The first memory I have about knowing a God, I was only five and a half. My mother pulled me on the side and talked about the God to me. And, Mark, for 3 days I couldn't sleep. Mm-hmm. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw this horrible, you know, this nightmare of the God was coming with the fire and He tried to punish me and punish my family and all of those, you know, image, you know, He was haunting me for the rest of my life. And whatever I did after that, it wasn't because I was loving Him, because I was scared of Him. Then I wanted to just make sure I escape from this punishment.
So you're arriving early to this church with the intent you're going to disturb it, destroy it, mess it up. You're going to put down this God. You step in the doorway, and suddenly God's love and His care pours into you. What happened next?
Mark, for the first time, I felt all the burden, all of those pain, all of those uncertainty. It was lifted out of my shoulder. For the first time, I know it. I know where I'm going. If I die right now, I know I'm going to the Father's arms. After the while, the pastor came. I don't know how long it take. He came and knocked on my shoulder. He said, okay, brother, come. I want to tell you about Christ. I said, well, brother, I met Him. And I don't know how long that meeting took. When the meeting finished, I ran all the way to my home. It's around 15, 16 kilometers. Now, you can imagine a young man, a skinny guy with a long beard and military boots just running. I ran all the way home and knocked the door, and my mother opened the door. As soon as she opened the door, she said to me, what's wrong? I said, what do you mean what's wrong? Nothing wrong. She said, but you are smiling. I didn't even notice that, Mark. Because we learn in Islam, smiling is against the God. And we learned we should, especially as a holy man or somebody is going to teach Islam, we should never ever smile. And that's not right. And I wasn't that time, I wasn't even trying to smile. It was coming from within. That's why it makes me so surprised to see some of the Christian, they've been years and years Christian, and the people around them, they don't see the difference. They don't see, they don't notice He's different. We should shine. We should, you know, when we walk with that, when we get that hug, we should shine for the Jesus. Without even opening our mouths, the people can say, what's wrong with you? You're different. Mm-hmm. Mark, in my bathroom mirror, I got a sign. He says, you're not normal. And every morning I wake up to that. I'm not normal. You're not normal. My dear family, Great News Radio family, you are not normal. You are different. You are so precious. You're that treasure. You're so amazingly treasure because Jesus gave his life for you. Mm-hmm. And you got contact with this Holy Father. You can't be a normal. And the people have to see that in your face.
I think Paul says something about we're a particular people or some kind of reference like that.
We are. You know, we have to understand that. And obviously, if you are not normal, you're getting a normal trouble too. That comes with it. And that was it. I know it is something changed. I know it is not the theology. It's not some idea. It's something changed in me without me trying it. And a couple of days later, I got a sister, Mark, which is younger than me. I know for a lot of my brother and sister out there, they might don't understand this, but I used to beat her up. As far as I remember, I used to beat her up. Don't ask me why. It didn't have need a reason, but I used to do that. And a few days later of this, when I came to the Lord, one day I was sitting and having a dinner, I heard the God so clearly. And it was the first time in my life I was so scary in the same time. He said to me, come apologize to your sister.
And this is, you're sitting at the dinner table with your whole family.
Yeah, we're sitting all family dinner. And he said, apologize to your sister. First I told, because I didn't have experience, I don't know where he is. I told him, and I just dismissed it. And this time I heard it with the ordering. I told you, go apologize to your sister. I came out in the garden, I started crying, God, please ask me to do something else. Ask me to go and jump from to the river. Ask me to do something amazing. But this is too much. You probably didn't understand why I'm saying that. Anyway, God said, go back and apologize to your sister. I went back to the room. I made sure all my family is out of the room. We are seven brothers and sister. And when I was only me and my sister, I went to her and said, I'm sorry, and I ran away. I didn't tell her even why I'm sorry for. I went back to the garden, started crying like I'd done massive things. And God said, no, go back and apologize to your sister in front of everybody. And that was the hardest thing I ever done in my life. I went back in front of everybody. I said, sister, I'm sorry I'm beating you up all of these years.
Because a man wouldn't do that. I mean, that's not only humbling, but you would lose respect from your other brothers. And they'd be like, what's he doing?
It's no, no, no. It's not just the man. You know, you're becoming religion. The religious, you know, teacher, you're becoming a religious leader, and your family, as you said, it's just no. Then you don't do these things. You might not do it again, but you don't go and apologize to the woman. It doesn't work that way, bro. Mm-hmm. And all my family joy just dropped. I know at that time, Mark, something changed in me. Something which wasn't from me. I know at that time when the gospel says you are a new creation, mm-hmm. I know that started and it happened. And the amazing thing is the people around me, my family, they know it is something happened. Something, I'm not the same person. I was wondering how many of us come to the Lord, we are a new creation, and our family, they don't see the changes in our life. We still have some of the argument, we still have some of the old pain, and we're still carrying it on. And that was that time I know it. That time I know it, you know, I'm a new believer, I'm a new creation, I'm a different person. And I couldn't keep quiet about it. I told my family, you know, this is what happened to me. I went to the church and God changed my heart and I saw the God and now I'm in Jesus, I'm a different person. They didn't like it much and they threw me out of the house and I went and told everybody. For first few months, even in the army, I was telling people about her because, as I said, I was in charge with 600 soldiers to teach him about Islam. Even there, when I told them about Jesus and I told them about how he changed my life, the people in the beginning, first out of the respect for my grandfather and out of the respect for what I did in the war, they just left me alone. And also they told, because what they call a war syndrome, they told them I lost my mind. They didn't touch me for a few months.
Because you had been, in a coma for many months and injured?
6 months I was in a coma and I was a year in a hospital. In Iran, what they call it, we call it a live martyr. That means I'm supposed to be dead. But then I'll be considered as a martyr for the Islam. That's how important it was. And they left me alone, basically. They said, he lost it. You know, don't worry about him. But more they loved, gave me the freedom, I was going to talk about more. And every day I was learning something. Not just learning it, you know, by reading it, not just learning, but in the pray and then sitting next to the God and knowing his character. How wonderful this character of this God is. And how horrible. How the sinful this, they present a different character of God to us. It was just amazing how beautiful our God is. And after a few months, they saw that I'm so serious, I know what I'm talking about. They put me in prison, Mark. I spent a while in prison and over 2 years in a solitary confinement. I was beaten up, I was tortured, and I went to the fake execution. They took me to the garden and they killed the person next to me while we are blindfolded, and they just shoot me in the foot. Physically, I went through the torture, but I was the best time in my life. Spiritually, it was the most wonderful time in my life, because I know it. Not even 1 second Jesus left my sight. I know it. Every second I was there, every slap I got, he went through his face, come to me. And I know it. What I gained, and what he paid for me to gain that freedom, that new life, it was worth it. It was so amazing. And every day, Mark, I saw the new revelation from his character. He showed me different aspect of his character. And that was it. After over 2 years, they passed a death sentence, and they decided I should be killed. The high judge in the country, they passed a death sentence and set up the date for Friday, that 2-3 weeks after that. And on Tuesday before my execution, which was supposed to be Friday, my uncle came to prison. This uncle is like a father to me. He was so proud of me when I was going to be teaching Islam. He came to prison, they called me in the office, he came to the office with the judge, and he put a big Samsonite full of then he opened it up. It was all large money. Those days it was a lot of money. And the judge said, well, you're going to bribe us? I said, no, I'm not bribing you. I want to give you all of this money. If you allow us, we shoot him. If you allow us, we take care of him. Because he brought a shame to my family. I was a bit heartbroken on his side. But I was thanking God, that's my shame. It was taken on that cross. And I was overjoyed. I was proud of my Jesus. A couple of days later, on Wednesday, my mother came to prison. And she asked a prison guard if she can visit me for the first time after all of this time. When she heard, I'm going to be executed. And the prison guard told her, I've been executed that night, which was a lie, obviously. But suddenly she lost it, and she started pulling her head and running down the street, screaming and shouting. And the kids in the street, they told she's crazy, and they threw the stone at her and broke her head. I didn't know anything. I was in a cell. They called me upstairs, and they brought her to the office with the judge sitting. And the judge came back and said, listen, this is what you've got. What kind of the God is? Why you call it a lovely God and the God of the love? How can the God allow something like this happen to your mom? How you gonna believe in such a God like that? I believe a lot of us, we've been through the maybe occasion like that. We lost a loved one. We lost a financial problem. We lost something which was dear to us. Or we saw somebody sick in our family and we couldn't take it. And we ask God the same question. How could you do it? How could you didn't let me go through this? The guy, he gave me a piece of paper. He said, sign this, you are a Muslim, and go. And I was crying. My mother is so important to me. Still, I haven't seen her for all these years, but she's still very, very important. I love her so much. I was crying and I was arguing with the God. I said to him, okay, tomorrow I'll sign it. Let me think. I went back to my cell and I started crying. I started arguing with the God. One thing I learned about God is a faithful God. I said to him, how can you let this happen? You promised me. My yoke, it won't be more than what I can carry. I don't mind the torture. I don't mind dying. I don't mind any of those. But why did you let this happen to my mom? I cried so much and I went to sleep. I don't know if it was a dream, Mark. I don't know if it was a vision. But I saw my cell, it become a light. It was different kind of the light. I never seen anything like that. And Jesus walked back to my cell. He was walking backward. I didn't see his face. But he stretched his hand, and with another hand he was pointing to the hole in his hand, to where the nail been. And he said, when you suffer more than what I suffer for you, then deny me. When you suffer more than what I suffer for you. My dear brother and sister, I don't think any of us, doesn't matter what we've been through, ever can claim we suffered more than what Jesus suffered. He suffered for us when he didn't need to. He suffered for us. The Holy God, the Son of the God, he suffered for us more than anybody we can think. I don't know. I've never been through any suffering like that. I don't know you. I'm definitely sure you've never been through the suffering like that. I wake up, I repented to him, and I cried, and I said, Jesus, forgive me, even thinking, even doubting, even, you know, talking to you like that. I went back, then they called me up. I said, no, I'm not signing. I prefer to die for the Jesus. Because I know it, Mark. This time I know it. If I die, where I'm going. Mm-hmm. I know the Father was waiting for me. I know I have somewhere to go. I'm going into that wonderful presence of my Father. Nothing could stop that. You know, it was no if, no but, nothing like that. Because it's already, that price was paid. It paid on that cross. That grace of the God secured my way. I know where I'm going, man. Then I didn't have to worry about it. And God will look after my family. God will then somehow comfort my mom and rest of them. Anyway, I went and told them. I said, no, I'm not doing it. Without my knowledge, my mom went out and she went to the first church she find, which was a Catholic church, mm-hmm. the one I tried to convert the boys, you know, to the Islam. She went there and told them, you know, my son is in a prison and they're going to kill her. And they said, well, we don't know him. And she explained, well, I don't know, it's your problem. They started calling other churches, and they start calling the churches outside, some of the churches in America, some of the churches in England, and suddenly the whole churches outside the world, they got together, some of the politicians, then they got involved, and bombarding the Iranian government with all of this letter. You have to realize I was the first Iranian converted going to the prison. I was the first one going to prison.
And that was like 29 years ago, 28 years ago?
No, exactly 29 and a half. 1986, this is happening. Mm-hmm. And they sent all of this letter to the government, and then it was a big, big news happening all those days. No, this is a surface. Now, all of this government and everything. I believe, Mark, if you allow me, I'd like to point to the gospel. I want you, the listener, if they get a chance to read the verses from the Psalms 18. This is, I believe, what happened, Mark. And I strongly believe it, and all my life, I know this. This is what happened. If you read Psalms 18 from the 5 to 10, or 9, 5 to 9, please. Would you do that for me, please?
And this is from the NIV, the New International Version. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death comforted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made the darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky.
It is so wonderful, Mark. The reality is, Mark, this is what happened. I cried to the God, and my mighty God, which is still the same God, he turned and then he turned. He said, he bent the sky. He bent the sky for Farzad. He bent the sky for me. You have to understand, it's the same God we believe in. He says the whole earth started under the trembling because the God was so angry. Somebody touching his son. Mm. Somebody touching his daughter. This is a God we believe in. This God hasn't changed, Mark. We have to realize who we believe in. We only preach the gospel. We preach that Jesus, he went on a dead's cross. He went like a lamb. But he went on like a lamb because of me and you. But he hasn't changed. He's the same God. Look at him, how angry he gets. He's prepared to bend the sky. He's prepared to destroy the mountain. He said the fire comes off his nostrils. For one person. For one person. Mark is still. He's able. He's willing to do the same thing for me, for you, for my dear family that is still listening outside. For each one of us, He will still do the same thing. If we honor Him, we stand for Him, because He's a passionate God. God has got so much passion for me and you. And the only thing He's asking from us, be passionate about me. Don't be loose, don't be watery. Be passionate about me. Present me the same way where I am. I'm a lion of the Judah. I'm a holy one. I'm a king of the king. Present me the same way I am. Treat me the same way. Stand in front of me like a son who understands who is his father. And that God will change. It will change the government for you. For one man, it will change the government. It will change the constitution. It turned all of this big politician around to just save one son, one daughter. And that was it. I didn't know what's happening, Mark, but I know it, who I believe in. On Friday, I was supposed to be executed.
Sorry for having to cut in here, leaving you at a cliffhanger, and I do apologize for preempting SRN News, but there's so much more to the story, and you'll want to hear part three tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. All three broadcasts, once aired, will be archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. To find out more about this ministry reaching the Muslims, stop by 222ministries.org. That's the number 222ministries.org. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.